Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning. Got good things lined up for you, like talking with Brittany Merlot and kicking things off.
Good morning,
Britt.
Good morning. And Mother Nature has good things lined up for us, too.
So sure. Excellent.
It really does look like it. It looks like, especially today, is going to be a really nice day. But Brittany, Seth and I are going to get into a bunch of stuff. We're going to open up our opening monologue today about this being the shortest day in history. That's what a lot of people are saying.
Ooh.
The shortest day in history.
Yeah.
What?
We're going to get into it a little bit more later and everything, but the rotation of the Earth has sped up and slowed down on this day in particular.
Oh, interesting.
Now, that was interesting to me. But did you guys know that, now this is only because they've only been keeping track since the atomic clock. We're talking early 70s, all that. Scientists believe that back billions of years ago, the days were only 19 hours long.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Can we go back to that?
Yeah.
or can we at least extend that, maybe? I don't know if we need shorter days or longer days.
Do we need longer days? 26 hours, maybe?
I'm not sure. Somebody smarter than me can figure that out. While we're working that out, Brittany, let's go ahead and get into the forecast. It does seem like it's going to be a nicer day today.
Oh, it sure is. Plenty of sunshine, a nice high-pressure system in place, calm winds, comfortable conditions with a north wind. So this means really no humidity. So a picture-perfect summer day, highs in those low 80s. That's what we'll do tomorrow, too. But a little bit more mugginess starts to seep in, especially by the afternoon. And then as we go into the evening, we do have chances for some showers and thunderstorms, possibly. That's, of course, another system wants to move in, and it could bring some heavy rainfall potentially on Friday. So we are going to be tracking that where it could 1 to 2 inches is possible.
Ooh. Yes, more rain. That's what we need.
Right? Yay. Right? Yeah. It's going to be on a Friday versus Saturday or Sunday, drenching us out on the weekend. So the weekend looks still pretty nice. It will get warmer and more humid, more like the mid-80s. It's feeling pretty sticky out there after this front.
For the most part, it feels like Mother Nature has been giving us some nice weekends. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter what the weeks look like, our weekends have been pretty nice going back a couple of weekends now. So I can't complain.
That's right.
Nice. Yep. Yep. We appreciate you, Brittany. Thanks so much. We'll hang out again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Bye.
Have a great one. The best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot. Have a lot of fun with her. Yep. Seth and I are going to have a lot of fun with all of you today. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. We're also going to get into it being the end of an era at TSA and our shoes. This has been a topic getting around.
Oh, yay.
Travel and Leisure has a new number one city in America for the first time in 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That'll be interesting.
Mm.
Got a bunch of entertainment news, including the new box office champion. The highest grossing actor of all time.
Oh, they recalculated. Okay.
And I think it might surprise quite a few people.
All right.
I think it might surprise some out there.
Sounds good.
We're going to talk a little bit of Led Zeppelin and Live Aid and Ozzy Osbourne's and Black Sabbath's last concert. Talk about Back to the Beginning a little bit that happened over the weekend.
Very cool.
Some local theater happening I want to get into as well and see what else we have time for. Like, how many cuts and scrapes and bruises will you get in your life?
Got
an interesting one there. Along with some good stories of the day for you and plenty more to get into. But as you and I were talking about with Brittany there, Seth, this is interesting news. A bunch of websites are reporting that today could be the shortest day in history. The rotation of the Earth speeds up and slows down depending on a few things.
Okay.
The biggest factor is how far away the moon is.
Okay.
The good news, if you're having a rough one, is today that will be 1.3 milliseconds shorter than normal. That's just over 1/1,000th of a second you won't have to experience.
Right.
The bad news is you won't notice, and it's not actually a record. DailyMail.com went full clickbait with headline calling it the shortest day in history, but according to calculations, it won't even be the shortest day of 2025.
What? We cannot trust the headlines of the Daily Mail?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Stunned.
I'm stunned. Don't know what to do anymore. It's as if the New York Post was reporting. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
July 22nd will be 1.38 milliseconds shorter than normal. And August 5th will be the shortest day of the year at 1.5 milliseconds shy of just 24 hours. All We're not even going to have 24 hours that day. There's an outside chance the Earth spins slightly faster than expected today, but the shortest day ever recorded was last year, July 5th, 2025, 1.66 milliseconds shorter than normal. Considering it was the day right after the 4th of July, maybe that was from the past. You can find this complete article at Live Science or IFL Science if you'd like. I encourage you to do that. Both great websites. You can go down rabbit holes with a lot of
different topics. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, this stuff is certainly, like they're saying, it's clickbait. It is summer. People are looking for headlines. I get all of that. And I don't like it, but I understand it and everything. Mm-hmm. I do think this stuff is interesting, though. I know we're talking like we're talking about something that nobody would even notice if we didn't say anything.
Right. Well, and it's one of those things where we're learning, you know, every day it seems like we learned a little bit more about not only ourselves, but also the world around us and in the universe that we live in. That, you know, that some things we took for granted, you know, there's always 24 hours in a day. Well, not technically. That's actually not true. The Earth speeds up, it slows down, and it has to do with, you know, science stuff, you know, gravitational pull and all these kinds of things. To me, that's the thing that's interesting about it, is that, you know, it's everything that we take for granted, we always have to, you know, reevaluate from time to time. You know, science, you know, changes as we get more information, you know, theories change and all that sort of thing. And we have to understand that as we're going along here.
As a writer, as an actor, to me, my one of my biggest goals is to be able to do it all. And especially when I was first starting out as a writer, I wanted to write a mystery, wanted to write a romance story, wanted to write a Western, all that. And I wanted to write a time movie.
All right.
My time travel. Goes back in time and everything. Classic trope in all of literature and stuff.
Absolutely.
I could not get past, like, not even, I had a bit of a concept, but I couldn't get past the idea of, well, if I go back and my character goes back in time and this was a person that lived in the city and they go back in time, well, how's the air going to be for them? How is that going to be? How is the little things like that in stuff that I have never seen them really address in time travel movies?
Right.
Where you go back in time and the air is so much better.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's better out here.
Would you like breathe in and like have all this oxygen and be like, whoa, I'm lightheaded?
Yeah. There's so many little things like that I never saw. So I never even got it off the ground. I was too obsessed with
it. Hung up on the.
How do I handle this? And why, you know, and then I was trying to see if anybody had ever covered the H.G. Wells or anybody. You know, and didn't see anything there. It kind of though created a real love affair for me about the past and about history and how much learning our history helps us understand today.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part about all this to me is something that I don't think it's common knowledge about. I was saying to Brittany about billions of years ago, experts think the average day was only 19 hours long because the moon was closer then.
Right.
So that is another fascinating thing to me about that.
Just think if something had changed and the Earth was only a 20-hour day. Of course, now we would adjust to this, and it would just be normal for us, right? You know, it would look weird from where we're sitting right now, but we would say, you know, did you get your, you know, 6 hours of sleep last night or whatever, you know, or however things would change because of that, right?
19.7 doesn't sound as good as 24.7.
Yeah, no, 19.7. We wouldn't know otherwise, right? we wouldn't know otherwise.
It's fascinating. It's quite interesting. Yes. And it's how we really, we get a better handle on the future and today and future by understanding more of that stuff. Interesting stuff.
I think it's interesting.
Good things going on in town here today, this morning, I should say.
All right.
A couple of things I wanted to note to anybody out there bopping around. Renaissance by Renee's assisted living apartment community is inviting local seniors and their families to free senior pancake breakfast this morning. This is wrapping up at 10 o'clock, so I'd say you got about an hour, maybe a little less to get over there, but keep in mind that it's been going on since 7:30 this morning.
Yeah.
We wish them well. Hope that is going good. Admission is free.
Pancake breakfasts are awesome.
Yeah. Be sure to check that out
if
you can. And our great friends over at Crossview Church are hosting American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin today. That has got about a little less than a half an hour left.
Right.
You can check that out if you like. All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. Go ahead
free
and
refreshments.
Check that out. Yep. A big thank you to everybody that hosts that and keeps that going. And our Grand Rapids Police Department wanted us to let you know about a partial lake closure over at Lake Wazeecha. and keeping into interest of the best for the public welfare and safety, the town of Grand Rapids Ordinance 35 has been enacted for the following boundaries of Lake Wasatcha, going on until it looks like the 20th.
Okay.
And this will, let me see here where that is. The area of closure affects those waters cast off a line from 64th Street South Boat Landing, extending north and the north shore of Lake Wasatcha.
Okay.
Keep that in mind. You can find out more by going to our Parks and Recs Department's website. Mm-hmm. And there you will hear about our Wisconsin State Water Ski Shows Championship.
It's coming up. Oh, my gosh. That is just, is it next week?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
You know, I'll be honest, and I've been honest with the audience from day one about this one. They, you know, we don't get, they don't advertise with us. They work with another radio station.
So that's true.
So they don't really, you know.
But being civic-minded exactly. here at Civic Media, exactly. we will still talk about it because it's a cool event, and we love to promote it here, too.
Love the water ski tournament.
Yeah.
I love water skiing in general, and I love this tournament, what it does for our community, the economy it brings in.
Right.
That's how much we love this tournament. We'll even still talk about
exactly.
it. Exactly. Before we go to break, let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Morning, James.
Hey, good morning, bud. How you doing?
Well, you guys are talking about time. And what you're saying is that I wasn't born on December 1st. I don't know what the moon was then.
Well, you know, maybe you just move it to whatever day you'd like. I always thought it'd be cool to have a birthday on Halloween. Can we just move our birthdays? Yeah. We'll keep the same year.
Your mom might have something to say about that. Oh, yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
And be careful with that.
Yeah. I probably won't move that. good conversation, buddy. We appreciate you. You have a good morning. Say hi to everybody over there for us.
Oh, ditto.
Appreciate you.
Great call.
We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR. Celebration. You're a little bit better and ready for some celebration. Some time to get louder and not by yourself. You heard the boys. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Great specials over there. Mm-hmm. Got some really good menu items lined up for you. And you can go over there, check it out, and see, and then debate, okay, what do I want? What do I want? I imagine the wait staff is used to that.
I'm sure. Do you need more time? Do you need more time?
Yeah, nice waiting room for the wait staff.
Something else we should mention, too. They're a great takeout place. Just call up in advance. They will get it all ready for you. And I've done it a few times. And the food, of course, is just as fantastic that way. And they have it all ready and set to go. It's awesome. So lots of ways to enjoy El Cafe.
Melissa got in my head these ribeye nachos. They sound really good.
They sound really good.
That sounds great.
Ribeye anything, right?
Yeah. Check it out today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support local, support those that support this community, like our great friends over there at El Cafe. Get there today, everybody. And get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you.
We do.
You can email us, info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
715-424-2600 to get your birthday wishes out on these airwaves. Love to do it for you.
Love to hear from you, everybody. go ahead and reach up. I just got choked up there thinking about it. I mean, just into these birthdays to get me. We need a one or a two, Seth.
Two.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. Get right into it. And first up, want to wish a very happy birthday to somebody we love talking about around here, and we love having on the air with us, Chase Quintes.
Chase Quintes. Yes. That last name, it's a tough one.
Gets me every time.
Now, it does.
Now, that just means I told him this last time he was here. Chase just got to stop by more, and I'll get the name
down. You'll get the name right, yes.
But he's great. He's performed here a lot in town. Great voice. Really, really promising talent right there.
Yes, yes. He's done a fantastic job.
It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
I say promising, and I always look forward to artists like him and what they do with their careers and where they go with it and everything.
Yep.
So he's going places. And enjoy your day, man. And a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Chuck Korn.
Chuck. Happy birthday.
Every year we get to say this. That's such a great name, sir. Yes, such a great name. The things I could have accomplished with the name Chuck Corn, Seth. Chuck, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you.
Yeah, I'm sure he hasn't heard any corn shucking jokes in his life. I can only imagine.
Yeah. Enjoy the day. Hope it's a good one for you, Chuck. And you're our qualifier.
Yes.
Let's see who you're sharing your birthdays with, everybody. Fred Savage is 49.
He's 49
Kevin
years old.
Kevin from the Wonder Years, the grandson and the Princess Bride is 49, everybody. He's older than us.
Yes, he is. He could be a grandfather. I mean, he could play the grandfather in the Princess Bride.
I'm not even going to say it.
Don't even say it.
It would be interesting to see him as the grandpa.
We're just saying that.
The mole in Austin Powers. I always liked his job in that. And for those that don't know, he's gotten behind the camera more. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's the one that's directed the most, but he's got to direct. I mean, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is premiering this week again. Mm-hmm. Come back for another season, a record-breaking season, I believe. And he's directed, I think, more episodes of that show than anybody.
Wow. And that's always cool.
Would not imagine that. He's a good director.
Too. Yes, yes.
One of the best guitar players living, Jack White, is 50. The White Stripes, The Recounters, Dead Weather. Even if you don't like Jack White, I have a hard time believing you can't respect his guitar playing. Mm-hmm. I like him a lot. I'm a big fan of Jack White.
Songwriter, a very talented songwriter as well. And there's very few people that I can think of in American music that know the history of American music as well as he does. He knows it all. I mean, he's got it all in his back pocket. And it's really interesting to see where he pulls from when he does his music. It's really, really cool.
I don't know if he has this same thing or not, but much like you, LeBron James has one of those memories, one of those brains that just remembers things really well. And he's a true student of the basketball game. Like, sure. He knows stuff that like very, very few people even remember. Mm-hmm. And the way he can go back and tell you, like an announcement, an interviewer will ask a question about a play, and LeBron can go back like 3-4 plays before that and tell you what set it up and all this. It's really interesting to hear him talk about it. Jack White is like that with music. Mm-hmm. He's exact same way when I heard you covered this Lead Belly song. Well, Lead Belly didn't originate it. It was actually written by this guy, and he'll just go on a road. He's really good at that stuff, and just an incredible guitar player. Mm-hmm. A big White Stripes fan. Was a huge fan, and I don't care who knows it, of Simple Minds. It's one of my favorite bands as a kid. Loved them. And Jimmy Kerr, 66, lead singer and songwriter for Simple Minds.
One of the most talented yet underrated bands from the 1980s. There's a handful of them, and they were one of them. Of course, they're known for their big hit from the Breakfast Club, you know, Don't Forget About Me, and the famous ending and all that stuff.
Got to put my fist in the air. Old Judd Nelson. Love that movie.
But no, they've fantastic records. They put out some fantastic music well into the 90s, and underrated band, to be sure.
Don't You Forget About Me is a classic. It's the song of the 80s. I don't know if you could get me to die off that hill.
Boy, it's up there. It's got to be in the discussion.
I will say, though, Alive and Kicking is better. I think Alive and Kicking is a much better song. It's a much better song, and I will listen to it later today. I've actually seen a lot of this guy lately because I've been watching these Dark Side of the Ring. I've been on a thing on I'm watching them, and Kevin Nash is 66 today. Pro wrestler turned actor. Played Tarzan in Magic Mike movies. He's also in the John Wick movies, Rock of Ages, Longest Yard. He's been in a bunch of stuff. Oh, he's Super Shredder in the second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie back in 91. I didn't know that.
He was?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Wow.
He's an interesting guy.
What a career he's had. He's, wow.
And he is such a good interview. He's just very and comfortable in his own skin and where he's been. And one of these guys that when he tells a story, it has a little more credence to me with him. He's self-deprecating. He's very funny. And for a man his size, he actually seems very like kind in many
gentle,
ways.
Right?
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a good talker, too. One of the better wrestlers on the mic there's ever been. And the dive bomb, power bomb, and everything. Kevin Nash, man. Nash was awesome. He's a great wrestler. Tom Hanks is 69.
Wow.
The greatest well-rounded actor maybe we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time calling Tom Hanks the greatest actor or his generation or any of these things. We all understand, but this is also where he is in his career. Mm-hmm. It's almost a given Like that we all like it's kind of like that gentleman's agreement or the thing that we all agree to that we don't talk about. It's like, well, yeah, Tom Hanks is a legend. We've normalized it.
Right.
We've normalized his career. He wins back-to-back Oscars, and since then it's just been, well, yeah, we kind of get it. But think about where this man started.
Mm-hmm.
Think about where he started and how hard it is for an actor who, especially if you're good at it, to break.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about dressing in drag on a TV show back in the day or doing a, you know, Splash or The Man with One Red Shoe or Volunteers or Joe versus the Volcano or any of these movies that I grew up loving and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about going into a casting room and getting them to believe that you could be a lawyer who has HIV mm-hmm. and gets sick and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Or getting into a casting room with Robert Zemeckis, one of our greatest directors, and getting them to believe that you can play one of the more serious characters while playing him lovingly
yep.
in Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that people understand how hard it is for an actor to work past type. And the fact that even before he won those two Oscars, the year before that, he was nominated for a best leading role for Big. Even
right.
before those movies, he was already being taken seriously like that. Watch yep. the movie Punchline. It's his first and maybe only dark role he's played, although Road to Perdition is another one.
Yeah, that's a little bit darker character.
I'm just now saying this out loud, realizing how big of a Tom Hanks fan I am. That's how much we've normalized him, that even the guy that obsesses about acting more than yeah. anybody else in the world,
yeah.
I didn't even realize.
I don't want to in any way diminish what he did for Philadelphia. Back when homosexual characters were portrayed one way
yeah.
in movies, he played one. And I mean, seriously, actors were afraid to take roles
yeah.
of that because they
yeah.
thought that would hurt their career.
Again, typecast.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He bravely, I would say, took that role. He knew it was a good role, obviously, but he did that. And not only that, he followed up a couple years after that. One of the things that I have the most respect for him, he appeared in the documentary from 1995, The Celluloid Closet.
Mm-hmm.
He was the biggest name on that, and it talked about, you know, homosexual people in Hollywood history and film yeah. history, which is one of my favorite documentaries of all time because it's just so well done. Tom Hanks appeared in this back yeah. when gay people were not treated the same way.
Right. It's a great note about that. Mm-hmm. The work that he has done for our soldiers, much like Gary Sinise and the Band of Brothers movies.
Absolutely.
And so much of that, that he's, it's really been a big part of his third act
yep.
here and everything
mm-hmm.
That he's done. And I should mention too, Kev, don't get mad at me. I remembered The Americas that he just narrated.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it turns out, by the way, Tom Hanks is an amazing narrator too.
He takes the work seriously and he works at it and he does a good job.
Happy 69th, Mr. Hanks.
Call him the one of the best working men out there.
One of the handsomest men is 70. Jimmy Smits is 70.
Oh, wow.
L.A. Jimmy Law, Smith. NYPD Blue, The West Wing, Sons of Anarchy. He is...
Some Star Wars stuff yeah, as well. Yeah. He's in that. Yeah, yeah.
And has not aged. Has not aged.
He still looks great, yeah.
Great actor. Great actor.
Loving it.
I like Jimmy Smits
Me
a lot.
Me too.
The great John Tesh is 73. John Tesh was a nice host for a couple of shows. He's had some moments there and everything. It is the NBA and NBC theme song. Dun, 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 dun,
yep.
dun. It's classic. It'll make him eternal. It's awesome. It's also something that he is so self-deprecating about. John Tesh is very aware how people see John Tesh.
Oh, yes, he does, yeah.
And just plays with it. Just has fun with it, much like Kenny G and stuff. Like,
he's a very successful musician. I mean, it's not like he's, yeah.
This is what I would hope.
Yeah.
When you're that successful, that kind of money, that kind of fame, I don't know how you can't be Larry Hagman. Like, you can't be JR from Dallas and be mm-hmm. like, you know what? They could put JR on my tombstone. I get paid to do what I love for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's... I admire that in people, even though I would almost, you know, hope for it in somebody that they would be that.
That was, like, the first thing people were asking when NBC got the NBA again. That's, like, the first thing. Are you bringing back the theme?
Yep. Yep, I know it was my first thought, yeah. Some people no longer with us, like the great Richard Roundtree would have been 83 today. The original Shaft.
Yeah.
One of the greatest movies.
Great blaxploitation actors. Love Richard Roundtree.
One of the better actors of any generation, but especially of our younger generation. Brian Dennehy, born in this day in 1938. Cocoon. He was Chris Farley's dad and Tommy Boy, the perfect father-son maybe in comedy history. Sylvester Stallone in First Blood, of course, he was in that.
Mm-hmm.
FX. So many roles over the years, and an incredible theater actor. Incredible mm-hmm. theater actor.
And I encourage you, we cannot play it on the air, but I would encourage everyone to listen to Patton Oswalt's bit about meeting Brian Dennehy. It is a hilarious story.
Really
it is
good.
So funny.
It's really good.
The punchline is Brian Dennehy delivers the punchline in it, which is awesome.
I got to listen to that. Yeah. I got to listen to that again. It's been too long. Happy birthdays and anniversaries mm-hmm. to everybody out there celebrating. Yep. Can't think of a better way to celebrate than with our friends at El Cafe. Get over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Seth and I will be back after the break with more Morning Show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks for being with us. Interesting times.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got. End of the segment. We're moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
I was just thinking about how... I don't know how many people, you know, in our audience out there have experienced life before 9/11 and flying. I know that I did.
I did too.
I got to fly once before 9/11. Mm-hmm. I knew, so I have a little bit of idea of what it was like beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a person that when my first flight after 9/11, I remember clear as day, and I remember walking into it thinking, okay, well, I don't want to get in any trouble here, and mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever worried more in my life, not in any job interview, not in any acting interview, nothing mm-hmm. more than, okay, look normal, don't look like you. You always look. Don't be you, James. Just don't be you. I wore slip-off shoes because I had heard by mm-hmm. that point that we had to take our shoes off, all these things. And I go there, and I'm not in line for more than a minute, and I get pulled out of line.
Yep.
And I've flown at least 15 to 20 times since then, maybe. Mm-hmm. And every time I've gotten pulled out of line.
Yep.
And not a dang time have I complained. I will never complain. I have a Middle Eastern last name.
Mm-hmm.
I look like I look. Mm-hmm. And above all of those things, I just want everybody to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that flying is not about me. There's a lot of other people involved in this. It's, you know, so it's, well, never, I'm not like trying to sound like nice here or anything. I could not be more genuine about this.
Right,
it really does
right.
not. And this is, I say some of this too, because I am also, if you've listened to me enough, the person that can't wait to jump on his soapbox and bark about this and bark about that. But I'm not barking about this. Get it.
Right. And to be clear, and I do want this to understand clear, and this is purely, this is profiling is what it is.
Yeah.
Because like you said, your last name and the way you look, that's why they do it. Exactly. Especially in those days right after 9/11. I mean, you hear stories from so many different people about that. Yeah.
And I don't know how anybody that saw those towers fall can complain. I'm just going to say it. I don't. I don't get it. And for me, again, somebody who has experienced it probably more than most out there our audience mm-hmm. and everything,
yep.
I would think that I have every right to, and I'm not. I don't, yep. I don't think I actually do have a right to. And now they get rid of it. Now they're not even doing it. Word has it that the Transportation Security Administration is now allowing all passengers to keep their shoes on while passing through checkpoints.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been an official announcement yet, but multiple sources, including the Wall Street Journal, say that they quietly made the change yesterday. When asked, the TSA said, "We are always exploring new and innovative ways to enhance the passenger experience and our strong security posture. Any potential updates to our security process will be issued through official channels." Awfully vague, and you know, and I get so sick and tired of these PR people that sit there in a room for 20 hours to write this 5-second thing when they could just be honest with people, just be blunt and honest. Mm-hmm. This is just confusing. That doesn't make nobody understood a word I just said.
No, it was very confusing.
if there has been a change, it sounds like it hasn't been made at all airports yet, because plenty of people on social media say that they were still told to remove their shoes yesterday.
Right.
Believe it or not, it has been 20 years since we were first asked to move our shoes, mm-hmm. take our shoes off.
Yep.
The shoe rule has been blamed on Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, who unsuccessfully, thankfully, tried to detonate explosives with his hidden shoes. One last thing, too, with this. You probably will be asked to remove your shoes if you're flagged or for extra screening, including if you don't have a real ID. And that's certainly a case there, too. So, with this, part of what I was hopeful in this, and I still have to do more homework on this one, and this story's been around for about 24 hours now, and I still haven't seen the reporting on, are we getting rid of this because our security measures have, all right, well, we got that X-ray machine you go in. Can it check the shoes finally? Mm. And that's why we don't have to take our shoes off. Because I don't think there's any other reason that I can hear that's going to make me feel okay about this.
Well, the fact that there's never, ever, ever, ever been a copycat of this, I think is part of it. Because it was a very novel when it first came out kind of thing. It's been 20 years. Honestly, I think it's just because that, you know, there, and I hate to bring this up, but we really do have to put it up. There are so many other ways now you can easily still sneak something onto a plane.
Well, and I mean,
so it's like,
does anybody else feel great? I'm being sarcastic here, but, We've had nothing but the last time we talked about flying and airplanes, it was negative stories, and it's all we've really had in recent years,
in months,
especially in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Is we've seen funding, we've seen money and support and all that being taken away from that,
from like safety things,
right?
Air traffic control, very important, right?
In my lifetime, I've never known more people that don't want to fly.
I agree.
I've never known, maybe a couple of people here and there growing up. In the last couple of months, and especially with summer coming around, spring break coming around, and I'm used to my students telling me, I'm going to this, I'm going to this, I'm going to... If they can't drive to it, they ain't going. Like, period. Out of the many classes and the many students I have, not a single one of them, it's the first time I've ever heard of this, going back to when I was in school, where nobody was traveling any farther than a car couldn't take them.
Right.
Like, nobody was flying. The way that we people have become about flying. And this, I love flying. I enjoy it. I just got done telling you how much I enjoy flying.
Right.
I put up with being profiled and everything just so I can get on that plane. I really enjoy flying. I think it's fun. I think it's cool. But, you know, I don't pretend to be any different than anybody else. If you're telling me, James, what would get you to fly right now? Well, an acting role, obviously, because I'm crazy. But outside of that...
Are you going to second? You're going to
I don't
second
know.
Thoughts.
It's the first time in my life since I was a little kid growing up near O'Hare and all these things.
Yep.
Like, I love flight. I think flying is cool
and remarkable and amazing. Right? Yeah. That we're able to do it. Right?
You talk about things we've normalized. Flying, flying. Period. End of sentence. We fly, people.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty darn cool. And this just doesn't. I don't know. I don't know how you get people to. If this was cars. You know, how comfortable would you be driving a car every day?
Right.
It's one of those things that we have to keep our eye on. There has to be accountability for these things.
Right.
And there needs to be clear answers. You can't ask this of every single person that has flown for over 20 years and then just quietly,
like, quietly
do a Friday news drop and be kind of like, it wasn't a Friday, but old people know what I mean by that. Old people like us know what I mean.
Yeah,
right. There is no more news drops. But, you know, it's the idea of you could just sneak this under the radar and nobody's going to know.
And why would you
say anything? And yes, why would you do that? Especially, again, with all the complaints there has been about this over the years.
Right. I think a majority of people would be happy not have to take their shoes off anymore. And why don't you just come out and say, because, you know, we've studied this up and down or whatever, you know, just like you said, clearly say, because it's been 20 years and we've seen no evidence and all this kind of stuff. We're allowing people to just keep their shoes on except for these exceptions, right?
They never really went too into detail. They just assume people understood why they were asked to take their shoes off.
Right.
And now they're doing the same thing with the keep, you know, the rule going away.
Reversing it, right, yeah.
And this is a huge problem with companies in talking to people. For one, most of the people making the decisions live in bubbles and don't know what it's like to live on the ground level like the rest of us or anything. But it's also this idea that things have got to be a certain way and that blah, 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 blah. And they forget what it's like to talk to real people. Just talk to us like a real person.
Please.
You don't, it's not that hard.
No.
It would take 5 seconds. Hey, we did it because of this. Boom. There you go. Not all this. Well, the TSN.
The comic Paul F. Tompkins, and I think I might agree with him, has this bit about he thinks people don't do so many things because they're just afraid of being yelled at.
Yes.
And I think that's true. I just don't think they want to be yelled at by people.
Yeah. That's really good. That's
I think you might be onto something.
I think you also just described part of my childhood.
Yeah.
Part not getting yelled at, and part probably didn't mind getting yelled at.
Maybe there was something in there. I don't know.
We will get to a quick timeout last of the hour when we come back. Travel and Leisure is a new number one city in America. We're going to talk about it when we come back on the Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Hope you all are having a great Wednesday morning out there. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah.
Hope you're having a good one.
It's only Wednesday?
I know.
This week already feels like it's been long.
It really feels like it's been a long week. If somebody told me this was Friday, it wouldn't feel soon enough.
No.
Travel and Leisure put out its annual list of the top U.S. cities to visit, and for the first time since 2012, Charleston, South Carolina is not number one.
Wow.
For 12 years running, the good people of Charleston have been able to brag about it being number one.
Mm.
But 180,000 readers voted, and the new best city in America is Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Really?
Yeah, that is a shocker.
Wow.
Santa Fe scored the highest thanks to its 300 days of sunshine, excellent food options, and natural beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Charleston fell to number three.
Oh, wow.
I mean, get up your
falling
game.
Falling big, yeah. What's going on there?
Got to sign some free agents. Yep. Got to get some new free agents over there. Maybe a new offensive coordinator. Maybe. I'm in a little bit of a sports mode.
Yeah, a little bit.
The top U.S. cities to visit in 2025 are Santa Fe, New Orleans, Charleston, Savannah, Georgia, Alexandria, Virginia, Honolulu, Greensville, South Carolina, New York City, Asheville, North Carolina, and Chicago, Illinois. Santa Fe ranked 19th worldwide. The world's number one went to Central Mexico's San Miguel de Alaranja. Alande.
There you go.
Alande.
All right.
Mexico City also made the top 10 at number 7.
Wow.
So an interesting list.
It is.
Certainly. This is all a personal thing. This is all case by case.
Really? I agree. Although, to be fair, I mean, you and I have both been to Charleston, right? You've been to Charleston.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite cities.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's just so much great stuff in Charleston. I love to visit there.
I was a teenager when I went there. I want to go there as an adult. I feel like I love it just the same, but I think I'd experience it a little bit
just walking around the it's such an old, you know, it's got so much history because it's such an old city. You get to see all kinds of great stuff. I mean, they've got the big market downtown there right near the waterfront. It's an open market where all the artisans come every day, and you can check out all these cool stuff that they have there. They've got, you know, if you're a history buff, you know, some Revolutionary War stuff is there, you know, old Charleston and that sort of thing. I mean, you can go to Fort Sumter, which is a great visit. You know, that's a fantastic historical thing there, too. So, man, Charleston is a just fantastic city to visit.
I agree with everything you said there, and I got to see a handful of sites while I was there and everything. I spent a good couple months out there. But the thing that will always stay with me, one, the people were amazing.
Yes.
I didn't run into one bad person when I was there.
Some of the nicest people live in Charleston, yeah.
It's the wildlife, the agriculture, the plant life and everything. I'd never seen it. It was long before I'd been to California. I hadn't been there yet, and I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful area. Like even little tucked away areas that you wouldn't think would have beauty to them and stuff.
And the food is amazing in Charleston. Yes. Oh, man.
Some of the best barbecue you're going to have.
Yep. Yeah. And, of course, tons of seafood. I mean, it's all good stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, it's cool to see, and I know who the audience I'm talking to here and everything. It is cool to see, even if it is Chicago to all of you out there, it is cool to see a Midwest city make the top 10 of this. Yep. I think that says a lot. Now, if you don't get, you know, obviously you can, you know, bark about me mentioning Chicago or whatever, that's fine. But that's money. That, you don't have to hear the word Chicago there. All you have to do, if you're a Wisconsinite, all you have to hear is money.
Yeah.
That means more money for Wisconsin.
It does.
We are connected.
Yes.
And if you don't like that, if you're not okay with that, I don't know what to tell you, because going forward, it's only going to get more connected. We're talking from St. Paul to Detroit to you know, Columbus to here, anything Midwest located. It's no different than how it is out west with Portland and Oakland and L.A. and all these things. They have been connected for a long time. Out east, everybody's connected. You think Boston and New York, the rivalry is just that. It's also built on something. It is built on, I don't know what that is.
You're fine.
A little digression there. Everything's connected. In the Midwest, the way the Midwest survives is by leaning on each other and connecting each other. We could still have our rivalries. We could still, you know, hate our sports teams and all that. But those tax dollars, those visitor dollars and all of those things, they add to a healthier economy and a stronger state.
Yes.
And incredibly needed right now.
Right.
Every state in the union needs this.
Yes.
Take a look if you ever want to feel better about your economy. Look at what the Dakotas and Wyoming are going through right now and some of the what they are and how they have to do that and how they are not good with that.
No.
especially the Dakotas, and I don't know anything about it, you know, but that, I've read enough about it where they're not even doing it well. And they've got to, otherwise you're not going to have any Dakotas left.
It's partially because they're so rural. That's part of the problem is all of that kind of thing. There's one city on that list that it made me scratch my head. Now I got to do more research. Alexandria, Virginia?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't
know. That's a good question. I want to find out why Alexandria, Virginia is on the top 10. That's interesting.
And not anything necessarily against it.
It's no, more, not at all.
It's more that I feel like anything we bring up, well, but this city has it, or one of the other cities on the list has that or something. I don't know what they necessarily have that stands out.
And Alexandria is right next to D.C.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, forget about the politics. Just, I mean, all the Smithsonian stuff is in D.C., which is amazing. You know, you get to see all that great, the museums and all that. It's amazing in D.C.
So. And apparently, it is not cheap to live there.
No.
It is about 24% higher than the national average to live there in Alexandria. That's the first thing I see when I pull up Alexandria on the Googler.
On the Googler.
That's crazy. Usually you pull up a city or something like that.
Yeah.
That's not the first thing you see.
There's so many people that work in D.C. that live in Alexandria, is part of it.
Yeah. Okay. That's one of those things, it's funny, I've studied the states and especially the history of the states. And at the same time, there's parts of this country that I feel like I'm still learning. The DMV is probably the biggest one. That whole area there, DC and all this, Virginia and all that stuff. I hear a lot of sports people talk about it. And Laura was from, spent some time in that area and she's talked about it. And I still don't understand any of it. I don't know. I got to go over there. My daughter, Izzy, was there for a little bit, and I was going to go there, and then the pandemic happened, of course, and wasn't able to. But that's another part of the country I want to check out. I don't know. It's an interesting one.
And I guess it makes sense that most of the cities are southern cities because the weather is better for the most part.
What is your favorite city to visit, everybody? Or maybe if that's not the answer, or if that's not the question you like, then how about this one? What is one that you would like to visit that you haven't?
Yes, that's an excellent question.
For me, it's the number two city on this list, New Orleans. I've never been there, and I've always wanted to. There's something about that just calls to me, and I've got to go check that out. I would say New York is another one.
Yep.
And like we were just talking about, there's cities I want to go to that I've been to, but I haven't been to stuff like that. So do you have any that popped in your mind?
I've been to most of them. New Orleans is one of them. I've never been to Alexandria, but there's no reason to go there.
Check it out just to find out.
I'm just curious about why it's such a great place to visit. But I mean, New York, always a fabulous thing, just for the sheer being in New York.
Yeah.
Just walking around. There's something really cool about that. Just, you know, seeing all the landmarks. You know, because every square inch of Manhattan has been filmed, right? In some movie or other. Right. Just seeing, you know, the library or seeing, of course, you know, the Empire State Building or the Statue of Liberty, all these kinds of things. Just to see that stuff is fun. So if anyone is ever, you know, like, just, you know, don't worry about it. You can walk the streets in New York. There's nothing wrong. It's just like Chicago. Please stop with the stuff. Get out of here with that.
Well, I mean, that to that point, yeah. Chicago doesn't end up on this list if it's
dangerous. Yeah, right. It is fine.
It is the way that a lot of the media makes it.
Yeah, stuff. Right. Exactly.
I mentioned that whenever I have a chance, and I don't tell anybody to walk around there with a sign or anything, you know, but I would not want anybody out there to hesitate to go to that city
because of some
kind of news report or something like that.
Right,
it's ridiculous. It's an interesting list.
I do need to get to California at some point.
That's
because
right.
I still have not been to California for some reason. And there's a number of cities I'd like to visit in. I mean, the Bay Area, I got to check that out just to, you know, to check it out. Never been there before. And of course, Southern California too, you know, maybe catch a Dodgers game. That'd be fun to go to Dodger Stadium because I hear it's a fun place to watch a game.
Chavez Ravine. You got plenty of stars to see. Exactly. So there's always nice with that. That's an interesting story. A lot of interesting stories going to be available for you tomorrow at noon with the WFHR newsletter.
Yeah, it's a new one coming out.
They're working hard at it right now. Mm-hmm. We will have a great new edition for you lined up tomorrow. And all you got to do is go to WFHR.com. You take a couple seconds, sign up for it. As long as you got an email, Addy, you can get all the greatest of Central Wisconsin news right to your email box every Thursday at noon. Mm-hmm. Not only the great reporters that we have around here under this building, under this roof, mm-hmm. But with just civic media in general and the great people that we have working here, adding articles to our work, to this newsletter.
Yep.
We encourage it. And when you sign up for the newsletter and you go over there, there's a little comment section. We encourage you to put nothing but growing great reviews and positive. No. If there's stuff that you'd like us to cover that you don't think we are, or we'd like you'd mm-hmm. like to hear more about, or maybe there's a story idea you have mm-hmm. or something like that. Hey, here's this thing going on that we think you'd be interested in.
Right.
You all out there are Cub reporters. You can let us know things that might slip through the cracks. We just haven't had enough. We don't have enough bodies around here. So,
you're right. You know? So let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Melissa's already driving herself insane right. just with all the work she has. So. We want to cover those stories, let us know about them, and get support what we're doing around here, and keep up to date on everything Central Wisconsin related with our newsletter. Get to WFHR.com, sign on up. Going to have some new stuff in there for you this Thursday at noon. Looking forward to it. I enjoy it every noon.
Yes.
I make sure to make time.
Good stuff.
So I can check it out, read some of the articles. I do want to say, everybody that works on these things is fantastic. I really love the way Terry Barr writes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Terry writes how she talks. I love that.
Which is great.
It's fun. We'll be back more.